Fellow Americans, all those that love God and liberty listening in around the world, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program, coming to you once again from the good old USA up here in Idaho. Good to be back with you today, folks. Yes, it is. I have a couple of thoughts I want to share with you today, and then we'll get into phone calls if you'd like to call in today, but I want to spend a few minutes here talking to you about how an old cop and soldier feels when April 19th comes up each year. As an old cop and soldier, I do have a hard time on April the 19th. It is one of those times when those of us police officers and soldiers makes us feel very, very angry and ashamed. I just can't tell you the feelings I have after having stood in the home in Lawrence County, Arkansas, where U.S. Marshals came in and executed a federal fugitive named Gordon Call, and I was back to Arkansas five times investigating these executions by federal officers. I stood in the home of the family, the Ginter family, that the government had burned out on purpose. They burned the home on purpose, trying to destroy all the evidence, trying to destroy the crime scene, so we officers couldn't come in and do another investigation. And what we saw happen after that, you know, I'd been in law enforcement a long time, and so had the other officers with me. Back in 87, took 12 officers from nine different states to Arkansas with me to reinvestigate on our own time, on our own funds. Well, we did have funds from the public out there, too, sent us money so we could make this trip. We went down to Arkansas to reinvestigate the death of Sheriff Gene Matthews and a federal fugitive named Gordon Call. And when we arrived at the crime scene, which was still standing, even though our government had tried to burn it to the ground, it was still standing. And see, we were able to do a very good investigation and find out, not surprisingly, that the government's reports were all lies. I'll be right back, and I want to talk a little bit about the Branch Davidian Church, the death of those people down there in Texas. I'll be back in just a couple minutes, folks.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Robbie Noel for the Republic Trading Group. Renowned investor Jimmy Rogers recently stated that with the boom in raw materials prices, it will drive gold to a record $1,000 an ounce. Now is the time for you to take advantage of the offer from Republic Trading Group. For a limited time, we have on offer the most recognized gold coin used as a medium of exchange for over 500 years, the British sovereign. Each gold British sovereign features the bust of King George V. The reverse of the coin is the mythical St. George slaying the dragon design. We feel the British sovereign is a great gold buy, trading at small premiums over their gold content alone when compared to U.S. gold of the same era. Call Republic Trading Group and secure these while stocks last. Call 1-800-691-7898. Or order online by going to our website at republictradinggroup.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program, folks. I'm talking about something that's on my heart this week. April 19th was this last week here. And I have had a heavy heart again, was very angry thinking about things that had occurred on April 19th, and was very much ashamed again. I'm going back to just a couple events with you. My awakening truly came when there was that shootout in North Dakota with the Gordon Call family, where two U.S. Marshals set upon the Call family coming back on a Sunday from a meeting on Sunday on a road out in the countryside there in North Dakota. And they decided that they would attack the Call family and try to kill Gordon Call. And they intended, the two U.S. Marshals intended to get in a shootout, because they so stated that to U.S. Marshal Bud Warren, who had just retired from being the head of the office there in Medina, North Dakota. And they also stated that to the police chief there in Medina, Daryl Graff, and wanted them to come with them. They were going to have a shootout with the Call family. And praise the Lord, these two officers said, no, we're not going, and you shouldn't go. And so there was a shootout, as you know, and our dear brother, fellow Christian and American hero Gordon Call who was highly decorated Second World War tail gunner, and was an American hero. I mean, he had so many awards for his heroism during the Second World War as a tail gunner, and his body was filled with shrapnel and bullet wounds as he knocked down a German plane after German plane during that war. And they set upon the Call family to kill Gordon Call. And there was a number of reasons for that. That's for another day. He was speaking out against the Masonic Lodge, which, and talking about the Luciferian nature of the Masonic Lodge to the farmers up there. And, of course, the judge, the district court judge, and these two U.S. Marshals were Masonic Lodge members. And so he was, Gordon Call was a big mouth. He knew what was going on. He knew about the evil men in control of the state and who were purposely working with the federal government, evil men, to destroy the family farmers, of which Gordon Call was one of them. And so they set out to destroy him, and they lost Gordon Call after his son was shot twice by these two U.S. Marshals. And a local sheriff's deputy there, and he fell to the ground. Gordon Call grabbed his Mini 14 and started shooting, and he was an excellent shot and killed the two U.S. Marshals, injured three other officers, picked his mortally wounded son up, Yori Call, and put him in the vehicle and drove him to the local medical center and then escaped. And I remember sitting in Phoenix, Arizona, as an academy instructor in the sixth largest city in the United States, police academy instructor, getting the report that this madman was on the loose, this cop killer was on the loose. And we officers said, because the 63-year-old farmer, who we thought was a madman at that time, we didn't know Gordon Call, we thought he was a crazy man who had just killed two of our fellow officers and injured three others and escaped. Well, it sounded very weird because allegedly our police officers and U.S. Marshals are highly trained. And they should have, we figured they should have won that firefight. So what happened? Well, we didn't know who Gordon Call was at that time. I found out later on. But anyway, we were very mad at this guy named Gordon Call. And we were hoping someone would find him, and we talked among ourselves as law enforcement people and said, knowing the federal government agents, they were so embarrassed to be outshot up there, and two of their officers were killed at a roadblock set up to stop Gordon Call and kill him, really. Of course, we didn't know that at the time, but we knew, and we talked about the fact that when Gordon Call was found, he would be executed, and he would never get to jail. They'd kill him because they were so mad at him, and he had embarrassed the U.S. Marshal Service so much that he would be dead. And we talked about that. Well, it turns out 5 months later, sure enough, the official report was that he was caught in a home in Lawrence County, Arkansas, south of Little Rock, Arkansas, about 3 hours south of Little Rock. And sheriff, and he, Gordon Call, killed the local sheriff, the Lawrence County Sheriff, Gene Matthews, and then he was killed himself by Gene Matthews. They had a face-to-face shootout, was the official report. Well, as a police academy instructor in the sixth largest city in the United States, a very large academy there, for it's a regional police academy, we would get reports across our desk telling us how officers died in America, and we would evaluate what the officers had done wrong that led to their death, or what they could have done so they didn't die, so they would not have been killed. And we used that to teach our classes to young prospective police officers and sheriff's deputies there at the regional police academy. Well, when I got the report across my desk, as I evaluated the federal report on what happened to where we lost Sheriff Gene Matthews, in this shootout with Gordon Call, I found out something very strange. Both were shot in the back. Now, folks, it doesn't take an Inspector Clouseau to know that there's a problem with this account. According to the report, these two men, Gordon Call was hiding in a house in Lawrence County, Arkansas, the Ginter house. And when Sheriff Gene Matthews walked in, he walked into the kitchen, and there was Gordon Call with his Mini 14 pointed at the sheriff about 10 feet away. And Sheriff Gene Matthews had his 41 Magnum out, pistol, revolver, and they exchanged gunfire face-to-face 10 feet away. Well, when I received the report, the autopsy report, I realized that these two men were shot in the back, both of them, from behind. In other words, not in the back necessarily, but I mean from behind. Gordon Call was shot execution style behind his behind and above in the brain with a small caliber revolver. It was not a 41 Magnum, I could tell, because I had investigated a lot of homicides. And boy, you get shot with a 41 Magnum at close range, like 10 feet, and your head disappears, or a great portion of it. And this was a small wound going in above Gordon Call's right ear, behind and above, and the bullet lodged in the brain. And the medical examiner said that he probed and probed and probed Bill Clinton's murder hider medical examiner, Dr. Fahmy Malik, who Bill Clinton hired to cover up all the murders that were done out in Mena, Arkansas, people that would stumble across the CIA and our government's drug running out of Mena, Arkansas. And so Dr. Fahmy Malik said in his report, state medical examiner for Bill Clinton, that he had probed and probed and probed into the brain of Sheriff Gene Matthews and finally pulled out the projectile, which was a 41 Magnum bullet, mushroom bullet. Well, any cop, folks, and any American that's a hunter even, would know that at 10 feet, if you shot a person and they were hit with a 41 Magnum at close range, you wouldn't have to probe and probe for the bullet in the brain. That bullet would go through and go through the wall and probably go outside. It'd keep going a long ways. But a 38 would do what was alleged to have been done by a 41 Magnum by evil Dr. Fahmy Malik, the medical examiner, state medical examiner for Bill Clinton. And so I knew we had a problem. And so from that point, I decided that somehow I didn't care about Gordon Call being killed. I really didn't, because I thought he was a very evil, evil man as a cop. I believed he was a cop killer and a very evil man. I didn't learn until later that that wasn't the case. But anyway, at that point, I knew we had a problem, that we didn't know how our sheriff, our fellow peer, brother at arms, died. And so I took it upon myself to pass this information around to other law enforcement people, and then I found out that a group of people in Lawrence County, Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas, were investigating this. Private citizens were investigating these two deaths and realized that they were executions. And so somehow they got a hold of me in Phoenix and sent me their report and information, and then I knew, of course, we had a serious problem, that we didn't know how Sheriff Gene Matthews died or who killed him, but we also didn't know who killed Gordon Call, federal fugitive Gordon Call. And so, well, we hear the music, folks. I'll be right back. Hang on there, and I'll be back with more of the Officer Jack McLam program after this break.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program. And I'm getting off course here a little bit. I'm sorry about that. I'm supposed to be, I wanted to talk to you about the Waco massacre of the church people down there. But I'm kind of getting off course, but there's a reason for it. Let me continue just a minute here on the Matthews Call execution case, and then I'll go over to we'll get over to Oklahoma City and the Waco massacre by our government there. So back on the Call Matthews case, Sheriff Gene Matthews, we now knew because there's a professor at the University of Little Rock, Arkansas, who contacted me and told me that they were investigating from their end and realized that Sheriff Gene Matthews had been executed by his own, by federal officers there. And they believe they had the evidence to prove it. And then Gordon Call was also executed by federal agents there. And that piqued my interest because what I had found out from reading the autopsy reports in Phoenix, Arizona, is that the story didn't jive at all, and that the government had to be lying about what they were saying or very misinformed. Well, this professor at the University of Arkansas sent me documentation to make me realize that we didn't know how our fellow officer had died. And in law enforcement, folks, I don't know if you realize this or not, but that is not the way things are allowed to go down. if we have a fellow officer that dies, we find out who did it and try to bring them to justice. And we don't spare time or money to do so. Well, in this case, we had a case where Sheriff Dean Matthews was obviously not killed by Gordon Call. And according to the evidence sent to me by the professor at University of Arkansas, who had read my Aid and Abet Police Military newsletter on constitutional issues, by the way, that's how he heard about our very honorable organization of police and soldiers that would tell the truth and speak the truth regardless if it ended our careers or whatever. And so he felt he could trust me, and he wrote to me and showed me some things that caused me to form a committee, a unofficial investigative team of law enforcement people around the nation. And praise the Lord, U.S. Marshal Bud Warren, who was the U.S. Marshal who knew Gordon Call personally from North Dakota, came along with us, and we went down there. There was 12 officers, including myself, from 9 different states, and also one man who was a state attorney. What do we call that? The county attorney. Okay, we had a county attorney with us. And so we traveled down there on our own time and went to the crime scene. And what we found was very, very interesting, folks. When the federal government or state government is involved in a criminal activity and there's a crime scene, they destroy the crime scene or try to. Well, this time they got in trouble because they could not destroy the crime scene. It was a underground, partially underground, energy-efficient hole that had been built out of concrete, thick concrete, about a foot concrete, thick wall. It was partially underground for energy efficiency that the Ginter family lived in. And they had taken in Gordon Call when he had gotten that shootout up in North Dakota, and he was living there all right. Well, we went down, our team of officers on our own time, unofficial now, investigative team, went down there and went to the crime scene, and we found out the government had tried to destroy that hole. They said, oh my gosh, we dropped tear gas, we put tear gas in the home to try to drive Gordon Call out, and the house caught on fire. What a shame, what a shame, and Gordon Call burned up. Well, when we got down there, we found out that, and started our investigations, we found out that the FBI had gotten hold of the state police director of the State Police of Arkansas and tried to borrow a National Guard anti-aircraft weapon, a big gun, anti-aircraft gun, artillery piece, so that they could hit that home with anti-aircraft artillery and destroy that concrete building, because they were frustrated that if anybody were to go in and investigate what they were saying in their police reports that were lies, that they could see right away that they were lying. And normally what they would burn the house down and say, well, you know, it's sad, tear gas set the house on fire, we didn't mean to do it, and the crime scene was destroyed. Sorry about that. Well, this case, praise the Lord, I talked to Tommy Robinson, myself personally, head of the state police there in Arkansas, and he refused to give them or allow them to have an anti-aircraft artillery piece to blow up the house with. And they tried to burn the house by pouring diesel fuel, 2 5-gallon cans of diesel fuel and gasoline down the vent pipe, and set the house on fire by dropping a smoke bomb down, and tried to burn up the house, but it was concrete, they couldn't get rid of it. I'll be right back with more of the story. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Okay, folks, welcome back. This is that old retired cop, Jack McLam, and I'm talking a little bit here about how my awakening took place as a police officer, of how our government kills people, murders people, and covers it up. And it was quite an awakening for me because I wasn't aware that our government did that. Now, that sounds a little naive to some of you, I'm sure, but I served in the military during the Vietnam War, came out, went into law enforcement, and I was, I was naive because I didn't know our government routinely murders people who are in the way or disagrees politically with them or is going to expose something as a whistleblower, something like that, and they kill them. They just murder them and normally make it look like a suicide or an accident, and that happens all the time today, folks. Sorry to say that, but it's true. But let's go back to the Matthew's call executions here by federal officers and how we found out about it. Well, I was sitting in Phoenix, Arizona, examining all this paperwork that our professor at the University of Arkansas sent me and the autopsy reports, and knew that we had to find out how our fellow sheriff, Gene Matthews, died, because that is what police officers do for each other. If it's suspicious, if we don't know who killed a fellow officer, we'll go to great lengths to find out. Well, in this particular case, it piqued my interest because I had been writing our Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter for some time, constitutional issues for lawmen and soldiers, and had been catching a lot of heat from my own department and other government agencies for requesting in our publication that police officers and soldiers refuse to obey immoral and unlawful orders. I was catching a lot of flack. And so I was more prone to listen to this professor at Little Rock University, Arkansas University at Little Rock, than I would have been had I not been writing our constitutional publication and being ostracized and persecuted for writing about constitutional issues to my fellow lawmen and soldiers. So anyway, I decided that I would put out in the newsletter, Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter, a call for any officers that would go with me to Arkansas to reinvestigate the death of Sheriff Gene Matthews. I still, at that point, wasn't sure Gordon Call was a good guy, because after all, I was of the belief he killed two U.S. Marshals and shot three other officers and escaped, so I wasn't too pleased with the guy at that point. Now, believe me. And so, but I was very concerned about Sheriff Gene Matthews, who we heard was a very good sheriff there in Lawrence County, and who killed him and why, and how he died. So we put a team together, and U.S. Marshal Bud Warren was one of the people that I contacted and said he'd go with us because he liked Gordon Call, knew Gordon Call, and began to tell me about what a wonderful patriot this man was. And so that piqued my interest, too. But we ended up down in Arkansas in Lawrence County in a little rural farmhouse that had been burned out by the federal government agents as they tried to destroy the crime scene so no investigation could be done. But they failed. And so we went to the crime scene, our team of 12 officers from 9 different states, and we began to measure. We get out measuring sticks and look at things, reading the official police reports, and we began to notice all kinds of problems. And, of course, we knew when you have problems like this, folks, in a official police report, the final report, somebody's lying. This isn't accidental. I mean, there was problem after problem with distances and everything they said was a problem. In other words, we then knew they were lying in their official police report. We had the spot on the floor where Gordon Call's body was laying, where it burned up on the floor and left the oils out of his body soaked into the concrete floor, so it was easy to see where his body fell. And the diagram of the room where the chair was that he was indeed sitting, watching television with his back to the kitchen area, and somebody snuck in behind him and shot him in the head, in the back of the head, and he fell forward onto the floor and never moved. Somebody took his Mini 14 rifle and put it in the fire before they burned the fire and burned the rifle up. But what we found in the rifle, folks, was that the bullets in his Mini 14 rifle, 223 rifle, same rounds that the M16 shoots, is that all of the rounds in the rifle were expended by the fire, the horrendous fire. The bullets blew up, that is. And there was not one that had been fired from that rifle. So they made an error there. But, of course, they never knew that anybody would come and investigate. They just could lie at will in their reports, and nobody was going to follow up. Ended up, folks, we found out that Sheriff Gene Matthews did not kill Gordon Call, and Gordon Call didn't kill didn't kill Sheriff Gene Matthews. And we found out in our investigations, I made 5 trips down there, even went to see Clinton, old gangster Clinton, at the State House when he was governor, and he put us off and put us off. We had all of the evidence to prove the U.S. Marshals and FBI agents had purposely killed Gordon Call, killed the sheriff, and then torched the building trying to destroy the crime scene, and Bill Clinton didn't want any part of it because his state medical examiner, Dr. Fahmy Malik, who had hid the bodies, the murdered bodies of dozens and dozens and dozens of people, out at Mena, Arkansas, the CIA's drug running operation. They had murdered a lot of people, and Dr. Fahmy Malik was brought in from India, I think, is where he came from. And he just did anything he was told as U.S. Marshals and as FBI agents stood over his shoulders when he conducted the autopsies. He did anything and wrote anything they told him to write. Anyway, so that was my awakening, folks, that we're still working on that case. Myself and Officer Rick Dalton out of Mesa, Arizona, dug up the body of Gordon Call and flew it out to the famed pathologist of the stars. I'll think of it in a minute here, out to L.A., and we spent 3 days in the body bag of Gordon Call's body bag with him. Sad thing was is that the coffin had leaked, and it was 10 years in the ground, and the coffin had leaked, and the body bag filled up with water. So for 3 days, we handled a soup in that body bag that was the body of Gordon Call. It had become just about soup in 10 years of being soaked in water. And we had to strain every bit of it and find the evidence we needed to prove that Gordon Call was executed. And we did find that evidence, by the way. And so we can prove it, but where do you take it when you can't get a county grand jury? Because everybody in the county is afraid of the case, and many of them participated in covering it up. You can't get a state grand jury because Bill Clinton was the governor, and he didn't want any part of a state grand jury, and the governors since don't want to expose this to the public, that the government executes people and covers it up. And you can't get a federal grand jury. I was to Washington twice and went to see senators and tried to get a Senate investigation into it, showed them all the evidence, and they promised me that they would do it, and Officer Rick Dalton was there with me. And they refused to do it. They never did do it. So we're still sitting on the evidence to prove that U.S. Marshals, we even know who they are, the man who executed Gordon Call, the U.S. Marshal that had executed him, and then Sheriff Gene Matthews, although it wasn't in the police reports, took three shots from three different weapons and perished there at the scene being shot by fellow law enforcement people because we found out through our investigation that he had found out or believed in his heart that the U.S. Marshal Jim Hall had gone in behind the owner of the house that was not Gordon Call, put a small caliber snubby .38 to the back of his head and blew his head, shot him, killed him. And Sheriff Gene Matthews saw this happen, looked into the face of the man laying on the floor, and believed it was the owner of the house, Bill Wade, because surprisingly, Gordon Call and Bill Wade, if you put their pictures up, their photos up together, they look like almost twin brothers. And they both wore ball caps all the time. Well, Gordon Call was wearing his ball cap, and Bill Wade always wore the ball cap, and he owned the house. And so when the sheriff looked into the face of the man laying dead on the floor that U.S. Marshal Jim Hall had just executed, he screamed out, "You just killed the owner of the house, Bill Wade," because, you see, Sheriff Gene Matthews had never seen Gordon Call and didn't know they looked like twin brothers. Well, panic and pandemonium broke out in the house as FBI agents and U.S. Marshals started trying to figure how to cover this up. Well, surprisingly, our sheriff, Gene Matthews, gets plugged three times with three different weapons in the home. Well, the third one was when he was walking out of the home with bullets in him, and he walked outside still alive, and a sniper up on the hill, FBI sniper, shot him the last time and severed his aorta artery, and he died on the way to the hospital. He was hard to kill. And there's a lot to this story, folks, a lot to this story. And one day, I don't know, we've always been interested in bringing these evil FBI and U.S. Marshals to justice, and also the state police that helped cover it up to justice, and we hadn't worried about writing a book. Everybody else has written books, but we have a story to tell, too, and we've never told it about all the details of this case. But that's not what I'm talking to you about today. This was my awakening, though, when I found out that, indeed, our federal government and state government will execute even fellow officers and cover it up if it's politically correct to do so, or if they're, you know, if somebody high up is going to lose money or be exposed for the criminal element that is going on at the top levels of our state houses and the federal government, they will even execute fellow officers. And that was a shock to me, shocked my system, and I woke up at that time. Well, since then, of course, you and I know they do this all the time. And so when April 19th comes around, folks, it brings a lot of thoughts to mind, because it wasn't too many years after this investigation we started into the Matthews Call executions that the Ruby Ridge situation happened, and I was called up to help the FBI do the negotiations along with Colonel Bo Greitz. And Bo and I completed the hostage negotiations with the remaining living members of the Weaver family. And I was able to stand at the body of their dear mother, a young mother and wife of Randy Weaver, and the mother of Sarah, Rachel, and little Elisheba, and see the body underneath the kitchen table where they had to drag their mother's body with her face half blown off, and she laid in a pool of her own blood there. And I heard the cries of these little girls for days up there. They cried for days when Colonel Bowen or I were up there at the Weaver family's home negotiating to try to save their lives, because the lieutenant in charge of the HURT team, the FBI HURT team, was going to kill them. He planned on blowing the house up. Matter of fact, when we got up there, the government, once again, had a helicopter with a fuel bladder. A fuel bladder is an attachment that you can put on a helicopter to bring fuel up to a remote location, and they were bringing fuel up to the Weaver Mountain up at Ruby Ridge for their tanks and their APCs and their other vehicles up there, and they had the idea to burn out the Weavers. And when we got up there, the FBI had a National Guard chopper hook onto a fuel bladder filled with fuel, and they were flying up to drop the fuel bladder on the Weaver home and burn it up. And then I'm sure they would say that a smoke grenade went off, or a gas grenade went off and burned the house up. Sorry about that. But luckily they were seen by TV crews with long-distance lenses, and they were being photographed by TV crews. Well, when the TV crews got on the radio to say, hey, they've got a helicopter flying around over top the Weaver house with a fuel bladder underneath it, well, they stopped operations. They broke off operations, went back down to Camp Vicky. That was evil, too, because they knew they had already executed the mama, Vicky Weaver, and the evil leaders of the FBI and the military that was there to come to take out the Weaver family named their camp Camp Vicky. So after being there and seeing these 500 militarized fellow police officers hiding in the bushes, 500 of them, state police, local police, federal agencies of all sorts, FBI, you name it, up there, and then the military there too. I was fully awake, folks, as to the type of criminal activity our government could participate in and call it justice. And so, praise the Lord, we were able to get the remaining living members of the Weaver family out. It's all, we give all the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of you out there were praying and praying and praying. And I tell the story, folks, that, and I mean this, I absolutely mean it, when Bo and I were standing up there outside the door of the Weaver family home, this little clapboard cabin up there that they had built with their own hands out of very thin plywood, half-inch plywood. And we were talking to them, trying to encourage them to come out, because we knew that the lieutenant was going to try to kill them all so there wouldn't be any witnesses. And Bo and I were working so hard to try to convince them to come out. The girls were crying because their mom's body was still under the kitchen table, and they'd killed their little brother. The U.S. Marshals had machine gunned their little brother in the back as he was running away, killed him. Well, I'll be right back. I hear the music. I'll be back to finish this up and get into other things.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
I see we're almost at the top of the hour here. This is that old cop, Jack McLam, and I'm being long-winded today because I'm very, once again, depressed over this last week, April 19th rolling around, angry and ashamed also. But to make a long story short, it was the prayers that caused the doors of the Weaver cabin to finally open, and little Rachel and Sarah and the little baby came out of that cabin. We had already, I'd already taken out their adopted son, who had been shot by FBI sniper and murderer, Lon Herucci, who shot him at the same time he blew off or blew away Vicki Weaver's face as she was holding her little baby, nursing her baby when she opened the door. He shot Randy Weaver. He shot Vicki Weaver in the face and the bullet. He tried to kill, get two kills at one time, which is kind of like, what's that, they call it in basketball when you get three baskets in a game, trick shot or something, I forget. But anyway, it's a big deal for a sniper to kill two people with one shot, and he waited until the adopted son ran behind the mama holding her little baby. And he timed the shot perfectly where he blew Vicky's face off, killed her immediately, and went into the lungs of the young boy and almost killed him. Well, on Saturday, I had, or Sunday, I had flown him out to the Sacred Hearts Hospital up in Spokane and by helicopter and dropped him off there, and he lived. And then came back and with Colonel Bow and worked on the rest of Sunday. We were able to get Vicki Weaver's body out and carry it out and then clean up the blood in the house. And then the girls and Randy shut the door, went back inside to continue the standoff. We promised we wouldn't grab them and do anything against their wishes, and we didn't. We got Vicki's body out, which they asked to do, and they asked us not to let it touch the ground because there was something in their belief system that a body that touches the ground, there's something, I don't remember what it was that they said, but anyway, we had to carry the body so that Vicki's body would not touch the ground, and then we had a friend come in and wipe the blood up. But what I'm saying is, folks, that it was your prayers on Monday, just about exactly at the time when the lieutenant, who Bo and I called Darth Vader, was told Bo and I that at 12 o'clock noon on Monday, he was going to blow the windows and the doors in that clapboard cabin and come in and take the rest of the girls and Randy out of there. Of course, Bo and I knew that he would kill the family because Bo, of course, being a Green Beret commander, knew that these satchel charges that this lieutenant had placed on the windows and doors was going to send splinters into every family member and kill them, and especially kill the little baby, Elisheba, just from the explosion itself. And so Bo and I told him that we were going to, if we couldn't get the family out by 12 noon, we were going to stay in there and drop on the family and cover them up with our body. And when he blew the windows and doors and try to protect them and save their lives. Well, he liked that because the lieutenant didn't like us at all. And he says, that'll be fine. You guys can stay in there when I blow the cabin. Because he knew we'd probably be killed too. Very evil man. And anyway, on the other side, it looks like I've got to continue this on the other side of the hour. Folks, stay with us and I'll get into why I'm so angry and ashamed of this week, April 19th. Which is just more a mass murder by our government leaders today. Be back in a few minutes.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.